Will you please pray with me? Father, we do thank you that we have assurance and confidence through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that not only can we stand before you with boldness, but we know that we're going to see you one day, paid for by the blood of Jesus. I pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you might speak to us, that you'd continue to mold us and shape us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're continuing to go through our study of Hebrews chapter 11, which is the Great Hall of Faith chapter. We have started verse 32, and it reads, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon," which we studied last week, and now we come to Barak. While these verses are not, or these folks are not written in chronological order, we are currently in Judges, and we're at a point to where we are going to study somebody who may or may not be familiar to you, Barak. Who is Barak? Well, he's a judge commissioned by Deborah, the prophetess, to raise an army. And just as we studied Gideon last week, and now we're at Barak, you will see that Judges has an unfortunate rhythm to it. And the rhythm is this: the children of Israel forget about God. The children of Israel are oppressed. The children of Israel cry out to God. And then the children of Israel are delivered. Over and over and over through the book of Judges, this is the rhythm of the children of Israel. So join me in turning to Judges chapter 4 as we learn more about Barak and why he is in the Hall of Faith and how we can apply the scripture of Barak to our own life. Judges chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it reads, "When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel." See the rhythm again? Doing evil in the sight of the Lord, being oppressed, calling out. Sin always leads to oppression. Romans 6:20 says that before our life in Christ, that we are slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. Now think about it this way. If someone is a slave always has a master. And just as we see here in Judges chapter 4, the children of Israel find themselves under the yoke of oppression due to their sin. Jabin is their oppressor. He had been a harsh oppressor for 20 years. Children of Israel cry out, and God in his graciousness hears their cry. When God hears their cry, Deborah goes to Barak. And in verse 6 of Judges 4, you'll see where it says, "Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, 'Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand.'" I love that. When Deborah says, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" Pretty clear set of directions, right? But look at Barak's response. In verse 8, he says, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." "If you will go with me, then I will go." Is Barak bold and courageous? Absolutely not. He's timid. Barak is timid. He's not courageous. And in fact, he needs constant encouragement. As Jabin prepares to battle Barak and his men, Deborah has to encourage him again. Look at verse 13. "So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?'" So why is Barak timid? I think the answer is simple. Barak is timid because he has lived 20 years of oppression under Jabin's hand. Why were they oppressed? They were oppressed because of their sin. My point is this: sin drains the boldness that we should have in our spiritual lives. In fact, you see that time and time again. If you think about it with Moses, Moses takes matters into his own hands and slays Pharaoh's servant, and he has to flee into the wilderness. And at the burning bush, God appears to him. And when you look at Exodus 3, it gives us the account of what goes on at the burning bush after he's been out in the wilderness. And God said to Moses, in verse 7 of Exodus 3, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Pretty clear, right? Kind of exciting. You're seeing God at the burning bush. But look at what Moses said in verse 11. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Sin. Sin in our lives robs us of the boldness that we should have in our spiritual lives. What does God do with Moses? He gives him encouragement. Look at verse 12 of Exodus 3. God said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God gives Moses encouragement. What does Deborah do with Barak? Even though he's timid, she gives him encouragement. Back to Judges 4, she looked at Barak and she said, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" It's not a plea. It's a declaration. It's a sign of encouragement. God uses us in spite of our timidity. We have plenty of examples of people who are encouragers in the Bible. Barnabas was an encourager to Paul. In fact, in Acts 4, where Barnabas is listed, it says that his name means son of encouragement. Paul encouraged Timothy. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded in you also, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Here we have this example of Paul writing to Timothy and encouraging him. "I'm encouraging you to stir up good works." Deborah encouraged Barak. God encouraged Moses. Paul encouraged Timothy. Being encouraging is biblical. Even though Moses could not enter into the promised land, in Deuteronomy 3:28, we see where God tells Moses, "But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land, which you will see." Encourage him. Strengthen him. We're commanded to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." We are to encourage. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." When you look at Hebrews 10, and I want you to think about something, and you see that he tells us to consider one another, to stir up love and good works, and then he talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Think about this. It's no accident that coming together for worship and the command to exhort and to stir up are listed together. As I've said before, Christianity is not a solo sport. We're all in this together, aren't we? We're all serving together. And part of our job as we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ on Sunday, as we come into a word that's been lost in our modern day vernacular, but as we come into the sanctuary, And as we fellowship with one another and as we serve together, we are to encourage one another. And as we encourage one another, we build each other up and we go out back into the world to serve the Lord again Monday through Saturday. We encourage. Now, I want you to think about something else. I've heard people say, I don't really have any gifts. I can't teach. I can't sing. There's really nothing that I can do. My friends, we can all encourage. In my house, in my nightstand, I have nearly every card that has ever been sent to me as a pastor. We used to have this elderly lady in church that would send me notes. And there were notes of encouragement. And I kept them. They meant a lot to me. They encouraged me. We shouldn't just be doing that with the pastor. But let me ask you something. Can you send an encouraging note to somebody that you know that's suffering or hurting, or that you can take a little bit of time and you can write a card or send an email and say, hey, just thinking about you. I'm encouraging you. Now, I want to put a caveat to that, and the fact that we all have had worldly encouragements, haven't we? But our encouragement as believers should be different. Anybody can say, keep strong, keep on keeping on, all of those type of things. But our encouragement has a spiritual dimension to it. One that encourages us to keep on being faithful. God's going to be with us. We can reference a Bible verse. Is there anyone here in this room that is not capable of doing that? And I would say the answer is no. We are all capable. We're all capable of being encouraging. And as you think about the importance of being encouraging, when Deborah encouraged Barak, when Moses encouraged Joshua, they had victory. When Deborah looks at Barak and says, up, it gives him that command. In Judges 4:14, it gives us the account of what happened. It reads, so Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera in all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far away as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Absolute victory. When we encourage, when we exhort, there is victory. People may say, I'm timid. I don't really want to step out. I don't want to make myself vulnerable. I don't know about that. We need to remember who we all are in relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul wrote this. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. When we exhort, when we encourage each other spiritually with a biblical basis, and we keep all of our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, victory is at hand for us to remain faithful, to remain steadfast. And it is something that we all can do as we serve as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you please pray with me? Father, I just praise you this morning and thank you that you use us in spite of ourselves. And I just pray that we might be an encouraging church. I pray that we would serve each other as brothers and sisters. I pray that we'd look for opportunities of service. I pray that we'd look for opportunities of encouragement. I pray that we'd share each other's burdens and share each other's joys. In Jesus' name, amen.